Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Birmingham City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Excited about this one, always am. It is 30 minutes where the Blues take us over, which means it is your station, your show, and you can have your say. That's the important thing. Just tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Well, a man now who joins us, he is Mr. Birmingham, Birmingham Fan TV. James, really glad that you've joined us, James Jenkinson. Got to admit though, James, we spoke about the game last week. It was a crazy one, wasn't it, for football? You know, it'd be written into folklore. Coventry playing Birmingham at Birmingham's ground. Birmingham were the away team. Everyone knows the facts. I'm watching and I thought, you know, mining our blossoming bromance to get stronger each and every week. And then, oh, you've become too good for radio, haven't you? I saw you plastered all over the BBC website, giving them interviews, insights, talking about you had to sit in a different section. You, my friend, have gone big time.
probably through you guys, to be honest.
As if. You're too modest.
Modesty at its finest. No, it was, you know, we spoke about it, like, obviously it's typical Birmingham to draw the tenants against the landlord, and it's even more typical Birmingham to produce an anticlimactic performance and have to play a replay in the same circumstances.
I know.
It was written in the stars. Everybody knew it was going to happen, so there was no point in having the first leg. We might as well have just took it to a second leg anyway from the start. So, it was a strange one. Not one that I particularly want to do again, to be honest. But
you are.
That's what we are, yeah. And, I'm not best pleased about it, having to pay £20 a ticket to go to the replay. I thought it was a bit extortionate, but here we are anyway.
Oh, really? Well, maybe we should get on ticket prices and the prices of replays and cup replays. It's a big footballing story at the minute, so I will bring that back up with you. But let's talk about the game then, James, because obviously I read your little piece on BBC. I very much enjoyed it, and I know the fans had a good day, a couple of songs being sung either way. But on the game itself, like you said, a bit anticlimactic, bit of an even game. Coventry really had some very good chances. Birmingham couldn't quite get past them, but they do stay in the hat, obviously, for the next round, and it is still another good chance to progress further.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And I think, to be honest, we should, if anything, count our blessings we're still in the hat for the next round, to be honest, because I thought Coventry deserved to win that game, ultimately. And we were lucky. And at times, they made us look like the League One side, and they looked like the Championship side. And if Blues fan Callum O'Hare had have scored in the last few minutes, then, you know, it'd have been fully deserved, yeah. But an anticlimactic game where I think both teams only had a few shots on target each, and neither team really looked a consistent threat, though. And I think that kind of highlighted our season in the fact that we really don't look that dangerous going forward, ever. And obviously to draw a blank against the League One side, no disrespect to Coventry, was really disappointing, ultimately. But I think the board knew that, and I think that they've tried to strengthen anyway in this last week.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it was an interesting day. I want to talk about the fans' experience, because I know you were in that different seat, as we mentioned. But also, Birmingham, even though they were playing at home and the away team, they was in their yellow strip, I found it really interesting that they treated it like an away game, in the sense that the players were at the hotel and the training base, and they all turned up together in the coach. They didn't separately arrive like a normal home game, even though it was just a short journey. And I like the way that the manager sort of managed that. He handled that in the look, you know, I know you're at home, but this isn't home comforts, lads. We're in a different dressing room. We still have to go out there and put on the performance today.
Yeah, I think we had to treat it like that, obviously. We had to be as respectful towards the tie as possible. And actually, I think we've had better form away from home than we have at home in the last 3 or 4 months. So maybe he thought that, obviously, approaching the game as an away game might have might have been beneficial to the result. I don't know, but ultimately, really, really odd experience. But it's difficult. It was never going to feel like an away game, if that makes any sense. Obviously, the match routine was the same pubs, the same spots, the same parking space, all of that sort of thing was the same. But obviously, then you get inside the ground and you see people in your seats, and you see you having to sing towards the home end. It was, it was one of them. It was a little bit uneasy at times. Didn't like it. Very territorial, and obviously Blues fans are very territorial. So obviously, it made for a decent atmosphere. And I think that was the highlight of the day, really, was the atmosphere.
Yeah, absolutely. Really good attendance. And I know a few songs were being chucked around, you know, the Birmingham boys saying, "We want our home back," and Coventry having a little little bit of fun saying, "You're supposed to be at home." And it was all in good jest, you know. And I know the PA from the Coventry side, they sort of gave out a thank you, didn't they, to Birmingham, saying, "Thank you for allowing us to use their home." And it was all in good fun. But I really enjoyed what you had to say on the BBC, James. Are you saying that, you know, it felt weird, someone else sitting in my seat? I go to every single game, I'm a season ticket holder, and I'm watching it from a different angle, a different perspective, just to bring that to life. What was that like? Because James, if I'm being honest, I completely agree. I'm petty, I'm stubborn at that little small thing. Someone today is sitting in a seat that no one else is sat in for X amount of years and X amount of games.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I've held that same season ticket in that seat specifically for about 14 years now. I moved season tickets about 14 years ago, and it was a really, really odd feeling. I didn't like it. It made it a little bit more hostile for me. And obviously, I didn't actually hear the announcement before the game about the thank you. I was in the concourse, so I actually had no idea. But obviously, we were told about that afterwards. And then to come out and to see people, it just kind of had brought that edge to the game. I thought that maybe was needed to spark it. Obviously, it didn't spark the game into life, but obviously football fans are very territorial. It's a territorial game, and to have especially a sort of local rival, class Coventry as a rival, but obviously they are local, to have that sort of that banter between them, and then them having the upper hand, having our seats, it didn't feel right, and I didn't like it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so many components of this game. Obviously, one of the ones that was also fascinating to me, you was in a different seat, and so were the managers, because obviously the teams are playing at the same home, and now the managers are sharing that office, and obviously Pep was invited in for a glass of wine into what is his office, and they said they'll return a favour next week. Even that must be quite strange and funny for the managers. I mean, who do you reckon gets to keep up the photo of the family? Because well, 1 week later, they're not going to be there. It's a weird one, isn't it?
Yeah, really, really strange. Like I say, it was a strange one, just not just for the fans, but for the players. Obviously, they have their own routine coming to the home games every week, and so does the manager. And it really must have been a really surreal, obviously, experience. And maybe that held in the players' minds a little bit. Maybe that's why we didn't perform. I'm not going to put it fully down to that, because I don't think we've performed well all season. So obviously, we were caught out by a decent side. But it was really strange, and obviously, I'm intrigued to see how Coventry and ourselves approach the game coming into this one, where it's a little bit more natural. Obviously, we're the home team and they're the away team. That's how it should be. But obviously, Coventry have had it as their home for the last 6 months, so maybe it'll be a bit different for them. I don't know.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Let's move on to more footballing terms, because me and you spoke at length about Bellingham, just what a talent he is, what a prospect he is. I know there's still 24 hours to go, but it has gone a little bit cold and quiet, which is a good thing. Got to say now, James, we're praying and hoping that no move, certainly not this window, and he's here definitely for the rest of the season.
Yeah, definitely. I think, obviously, touch wood, all things being said, I think we've managed to retain him until the summer now. I think that the talk from the board and the owners and the manager was that he was going nowhere in this window regardless. It would have had to have been a stupidly overpriced sort of figure to prize him away from us at this age. And the talk is also that his parents don't want him to leave, and that it's too young for him to move to Manchester. He still can't even drive. They want him to continue to develop here. They know that the bids will come in 6 months to 12 months' time. And then obviously he'll get his move then, and we all pray and hope that he gets the right move and we get the right price. But yeah, to keep him for another 6 months to continue his development's great, and obviously that means he'll reach his pro contract come the summer, and we can get the best price for ourselves as well, not being selfish or anything, but it's important for the club as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the club play a part in this as well, and the development he's already had. It's interesting, James, because I spoke to David Prutton, who does our drive show on Love Sport 3-7 every day, and he's a huge, huge fan of Bellingham, and he said, I'm so glad he's staying, he should be staying. And he said, we always forget, not forget, and you just touched upon it there, which is what made me think of it. He is 16. He can't drive. He can't do all these things. But the way we talk about him and his talent and ability, you would think, you know, coming into his prime, but he's still so young. It's crazy. That sort of, if it's possible, goes under the radar when we talk about it, doesn't it, James?
Yeah, absolutely. When I watch him most weeks, I completely forget, you know, that he's what, 6-7 years younger than me. I can't believe it. Half the time his physique is way above any 16-year-old, you know, that you usually see. His mentality, his approach to everything. He's almost like, you know, it's scary. Some people even suggested give him the captaincy. Obviously, that's an outrageous statement. But I can see what they say, because he does show signs of leadership on the pitch. He does get the fans going. He does try and, you know, encourage teammates. He does show maturity. And I think, for a 16-year-old, I've never seen the likes of it. Obviously, we've seen Nathan Redman, we've seen Jack Butland, we've seen Damari Gray, and they're all fantastic talents, and they were all, you know, exceptional players, but they never showed the maturity and the discipline and the leadership skills that he shows. I think Redman probably came the closest to that, and obviously he's got the furthest in his career so far, so obviously it's only a matter of time before Bellingham surpasses that. And obviously, we wait and see till the summer now, and obviously his development, and see how he finishes the season, and obviously who that attracts in the summer.
Absolutely. Well, James, it's always good to talk to you. James Jenkinson, Birmingham Fan TV. Make sure you check them out, because I say Birmingham Fan TV, they're not just stars that come on this show. They're stars on the BBC now and stars of their own. Make sure you check out all their YouTube stuff and their blogs, James Jenkinson. Well, there is still time on the Birmingham Fan Show, and there is still so much to cover, but you can have your say as well. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Birmingham City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. What a 15 minutes we just had with James Jenkinson from Birmingham Fan TV. Well, we're getting the Birmingham Fan TV double now, because I'm delighted to say I'm joined by not only the Birmingham City Fan Show's partner in crime, James's partner in crime. It is Emily Drakely. Emily, really good to have you on. But I've got to say, just like I said to James here, You came on the other week. We absolutely loved it. You made your radio debut. Now, on to bigger and better things. After one appearance, I saw you on the BBC as well. What is going on?
Oh, yeah, I'm always trying to dabble in as many things as possible, you know.
Well, this is it. We're just a small stepping stone. It's okay. I can deal with the facts, Emily. I can deal with the facts. But it was something like, it was so good to see you both on there. I sort of felt a little bit of pride. I'm not quite sure why, but really good to see, obviously, putting Birmingham on the map, as we're hoping this show does. But it was quite an interesting bit that you were talking about, the old half and half scarves, people wondering why it was done just for a game where you were playing Coventry City, who are using your home at the minute. I loved your take on it. It's not really Birmingham City's vibe. I've got to be honest with you, I'm not really sure it's many football fans' vibe for whatever team they support. But why did Birmingham do this?
I don't know, if I'm completely honest. I think I was being quite polite in my approach saying that. I think if you'd seen the Twitter...
it was very BBC speak. I enjoyed it.
Yes. Well, Blues fans were not happy about it. It's not something that we do, if I'm honest. Would you expect a department to create that for every other football round? No, you wouldn't. So why is it? Because it's two sort of rivals. It's a commercial decision, really. I think they were trying to make more money for the club, but I think it backfired. I don't think it was ever going to go down very well, and yeah, people were on about buying them just to burn them. So, yeah, not good.
well, maybe hold on to them, because who knows, you'll get part two of that in the replay and then there'll be two scarves. There's no point having one without the other. You know, the limited edition won't quite work, Emily. Let's quickly talk about the January transfer window, because obviously I brought it up with James. Bellingham is staying. That's really the biggest point of the window, one we're all chuffed about. But another one is Scott Hogan has signed from Villa. He was at Stoke. That was cut short. You've got a player from your local rivals. What are you making of this arrival? I know he's had terrible injuries, but obviously he is a player that can finish. Can he add something as we head into the home stretch of the Championship?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think at the time at Brentford, he was exceptional. So I think he's definitely... We're crying out for a striker. I'm sure James has said this previously, but we are desperate for a striker. Lukas Jukovic can't do it all on his own. As much as he tries, as much as he is doing it on his own, he can't do it for the whole season. Alvaro Jimenez, he's a trier, but he's not converting the chances. And in recent weeks, he hasn't played much at all. So I think we definitely needed to invest in a striker. I think the issue was our position in the table isn't very high at all. We are 18th. So we are not going to be able to reach the calibre of player that our board ideally wants. I think the board wanted Ivan Toney. That was never going to happen because obviously Peterborough are asking for, I think it was 12 million for him. So yeah, it's a weird one. I don't think it really matters where... It does matter that he's from Villa, but I think he didn't have the best of times at Villa, so I'm quite happy to ignore the fact that he came from Villa and just think about him as a Brentford player. If he can replicate what he did at Brentford with us, then hopefully they'll have a bright future.
Yeah, exactly. I remember that time at Brentford, and obviously he's an unbelievable finisher. And I know it's weird, we've got a player from our local rivals and he's signed for us, but really, he's representing Birmingham now, he's representing the Blues, he's got that shirt on, and it's sort of... There's a positive to take from that. If he goes on to be unbelievable, you go, well, look, you gave us that place, brilliant for us, and he never really quite worked out for you. And there's something even in that, maybe a better of bragging rights for Birmingham.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think so. I mean, a similar situation happened with Gary Gardner.
Yeah.
Gary Gardner came from Villa. I tell you, Craig really came through their youth. So I think that it's a difficult one, because as much as you don't want to sign players from your rivals, and it's a fierce rivalry, I think we're not in a position to really be too upset about it. And as long as he comes in and proves himself and does the job, I don't think we'll be saying, oh, he's from Villa. I think we'll be saying he's replicated his form from Brentford. And where he's come from previously, that doesn't matter. I mean, we don't say it about Gary Gardner anymore. He's been great for us over the last season and a half. And that's only mentioned in banterous occasions. So.
Yeah, well, it is a fierce rivalry, and something that even Coventry joined in with on the weekend. There was a few songs sung about Villa. It was the one time that both sets of fans joined in together, and that's just how strong and deep it goes. There's a number of other things, but this was just one that highlighted it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that I don't think they're the most liked club in the Midlands, put it that way, to be very polite. I have to be careful what I say on the radio.
Yeah. Well done, well done. We're still at 10 to 9.
Yeah, it's not possible to shed yet. No, I just think that the rivalry is so fierce, and especially, I think everyone's seen it. If you're not even a Blues fan or a Villa fan, you know how fierce the rivalry is. All up and down the country, probably now internationally, people know through social media, the media, people speaking about it. It's a really fierce rivalry, and there's no hiding from that. Hopefully we'll get to play them next season.
I knew that was coming.
Sorry, I just had to dig that in there.
Yeah, well, they are obviously... it's been, I suppose, a weird week for Birmingham in that sense. You know, seeing their plight in the Premier League, struggling for survival in that relegation fight, but then obviously, we'll whisper it, making the League Cup final. Bit of obviously a weird one, but Birmingham, not so long ago themselves, won that League Cup as well, and they have tough opposition in Man City, so don't worry just yet. Let's keep it on Birmingham and the next two games, because there's two games until we do the Birmingham City fan show again. Both at home, again, against Coventry. But one of the games in the league is Forest. A really big game, obviously, on the weekend. We know how well Forest are doing. Obviously, beating Brentford in the week, so they're on a massive high. What are you making of the game? And should we expect a half and half scarf for this one?
I blooming hope not. but no, I think Forest have been exceptional this season. They're third, and they're only 2 points behind West Brom. If West Brom lose and Forest win this weekend, they could go into the automatic promotion places. But I think we have something in the tank that could help us turn them over. But that's only if we are 100% on our game. If we don't turn up on the day, we could be absolutely destroyed by them. Lewis Grabban scored 16 this season, which is a crazy amount. And then Joe Lolley's behind him with 7. So two players that we really have to be focusing on throughout this game. But the only positive is this time last season, we beat them 2-0. And the time before that at home, we also beat them. So it's a happy hunting ground for us against Forest in recent years. So I'm looking forward to it. But it's going to be a really tough one. I'll be able to tell you in the first 10 minutes, but looking at it ahead of the time, it's just going to be, it's weird, it's Blues, it's just how it is.
Yeah, it's going to be a weird one, because this is no disrespect to Forest, but because they're up there, like you said, they're 2 points out of those automatic places, but they're not getting the sexiest of wins, you know, the prettiest of football, but they're really tough to beat. You know, they don't score many, but the classic 1-0 scorelines, you know, you're always in for a fight with Forest, and Birmingham will maybe want it that way, the sort of identity of the side, you know. This will be a tough game on the weekend, but you mentioned that Birmingham maybe will have it in the tank. What is it that you're banking on then in that sense?
I think there's, for me, three key players that will be our dynamite for this game. It'll be Jeremy Bella, Lukas Jukovic and Jude Bellingham. Jeremy Bella, if you haven't seen him, the people that are listening that aren't Blues fans, go watch some clips of him. He is exceptional. He's lightning. Some of the balls that he puts into the box, his passes, he's just fantastic to watch. And he probably is the best player technically on our team, apart from Dan Crowley, who's currently injured. But I think, obviously, you have to keep an eye on Lukas Jukovic as well. He's going to be our goal scorer. And I think if it's going to be one of those 1-0, really tough to play games, I think we may be able to nick it. But we'll have to see.
Oh, all right. You're saying that Birmingham may nick it. They have a history of 2-0 wins in a minute. Let's look at Coventry now. Obviously, what are you making of the replay on Tuesday? You're at home this time, so that would be nice to get the chance to play them at home. Just for you, A, what are you thinking of the game on Tuesday? But B, what was it like for you this weekend also after hearing what James had to say as well?
It was really weird for me, being in a completely different space. I've had my season ticket for a few years now. So being sat from a completely different view, looking and seeing there's someone in my seat, there's actually a flag over it, but there was someone there that there shouldn't have been. And then watching the game from my view, it was quite mind-boggling, really, just to see the split in the ground. So it was almost like a diagonal split. And Coventry being on one side, Blues on the other. It was very weird, very hard to take in, actually. But it was a different experience, put it that way. But I'm not glad that we took it to a replay, because if I'm honest, Coventry were exceptional. They were very, very good. And they looked more like the Championship side than we did. But we should have gone into that game looking for a win now, because it's an extra fixture for us. And our team isn't exactly blessed with strength and depth. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to it, in the sense that I'll be back in my seat, and it's another game for me to be able to watch my team play. But I don't know whether, I don't know whether it's going to impact us further on down the line. But I think it's the last grasp for us for something great this season, to be able to progress into the fifth round, because, you know, our season's basically done. If we keep getting a few points, we won't get relegated. Although you never know with us, it might teeter on the knife edge right at the end of the season. But I think beating Coventry and just getting into the fifth round, and maybe getting, you know, having a fantastic game coming from that, I think that would be really good for us, the fan base, to think, actually, the season hasn't been a complete write-off. We've actually made some sort of progression in a very roundabout way. But I'm looking forward to it, but I'm also quite apprehensive.
Yeah, well, Emily, very quickly from you, will they progress? Will they win next week? Will we be talking about next Thursday Birmingham being in that fifth round?
I don't know.
Oh, come on, Emily. You've got to end on a high.
Yes, okay. We're going to win, and we're going to have a lot of goals.
Oh, that is a bold prediction at the end. Emily, always good to get you and James on. You are our Birmingham team for the Birmingham City Fan Show. Really enjoy this half an hour. And as always, you can get involved. Please ask a question to Emily or James. Have your Birmingham City say, this is what this show is for. Like I said, James and Emily going from strength to strength, the BBC stars that they are. We will be back at the same time next week, 8:30 to 9, every Thursday on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.